but she couldn't light the fire or clean the house on a Saturday. This was why, of the Bolognese Jewish families at the time who could afford servants, most hired Catholics. In this book, I have deliberately refrained from detailing the horrors of the Crusades, the conquistadors, or the Spanish Inquisition. Cruel and evil people can be found in every century and of every persuasion. But this story of the Italian Inquisition and its attitude to children is particularly revealing of the religious mind and the evils that arise specifically because it is religious. First is the remarkable perception by the religious mind that a sprinkle of water and a brief verbal incantation can totally change a child's life, taking precedence over parental consent, the child's own consent, the child's own happiness and psychological well-being, over everything that ordinary common sense and human feeling would see as important. Cardinal Antonelli spelled it out at the time in a letter to Lionel Rothschild, Britain's first Jewish Member of Parliament, who had written to protest about Edgardo's abduction. The Cardinal replied that he was powerless to intervene and added,
"Here it may be opportune to observe that if the voice of nature is powerful, even more powerful are the sacred duties of religion."
Yes, well, that just about says it all, doesn't it? Second is the extraordinary fact that the priests, cardinals and pope, seem genuinely not to have understood what a terrible thing they were doing to poor Edgardo Mortara. It passes all sensible understanding, but they sincerely believe they were doing him a good turn by taking him away from his parents and giving him a Christian upbringing. They felt a duty of protection. A Catholic newspaper in the United States defended the Pope's stance on the Mortara case, arguing that it was unthinkable that a Christian government
could leave a Christian child to be brought up by a Jew,
and invoking the principle of religious liberty.
The liberty of a child to be a Christian and not forced compulsorily to be a Jew. The Holy Father's protection of the child in the face of all the ferocious fanaticism of infidelity and bigotry is the grandest moral spectacle which the world has seen for ages.
Has there ever been a more flagrant misdirection of words like forced, compulsorily, ferocious, fanaticism, and bigotry? Yet all the indications are that Catholic apologists from the Pope down sincerely believed that what they were doing was right, absolutely right morally, and right for the welfare of the child. Such is the power of mainstream, moderate religion to warp judgment and pervert ordinary human decency. The newspaper Il Cattolico was frankly bewildered at the widespread failure to see what a magnanimous favour the Church had done Edgardo Mortara when it rescued him from his Jewish family.
Whoever among us gives a little serious thought to the matter compares the condition of a Jew without a true church, without a king and without a country, dispersed and always a foreigner wherever he lives on the face of the earth, and moreover infamous for the ugly stain with which the killers of Christ are marked, will immediately understand how great is this temporal advantage that the Pope is obtaining for the Mortara boy.
Third is the presumptuousness whereby religious people know, without evidence, that the faith of their birth is the one true faith, all others being aberrations or downright false. The above quotations give vivid examples of this attitude on the Christian side. It would be grossly unjust to equate the two sides in this case, but this is as good a place as any to note that the Mortaras could at a stroke have had Edgardo back if only they had accepted the priest's entreaties and agreed to be baptized themselves. Edgardo had been stolen in the first place because of a splash of water and a dozen meaningless words. Such is the fatuousness of the religiously indoctrinated mind, another pair of splashes is all it would have taken to reverse the process. To some of us, the parents' refusal indicates wanton stubbornness. To others, their principled stand elevates them into the long list of martyrs for all religions down the ages.
Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day, by God's grace, light such a candle in England as I trust shall never be put out.
No doubt there are causes for which to die is noble. But how could the martyrs Ridley, Latimer and Cranmer let themselves be burned rather than forsake their Protestant little-endianism in favour of Catholic big-endianism. Does it really matter all that much from which end you open a boiled egg? Such is the stubborn, or admirable, if that is your view, conviction of the religious mind, that the Mortaras could not bring themselves to seize the opportunity offered